The gospel lesson for today actually comes from the lectionary. It's a reading from Matthew's gospel of a parable that's familiar, and it's a story that's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's a handful of parables that made the big three books, and so this is one of them, the parable commonly known as the parable of the sower. Listen to God's word from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then an explanation of the parable in verses 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, and he sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since there was no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. But other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Let anyone with ears listen." And then verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what is sown on the path. As for what is sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and it yields fruit, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it withers away. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, in this place your word goes forth. May then the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, shaped by your grace, upheld by your love. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Matthew 13 tells us that a great crowd gathered to hear Jesus preach. It was so large that he had to get into a boat and anchor himself a bit off from the shore so that the people could see and hear him. Jesus is using the natural slope of the shoreline and the reflective quality of the water to actually create a natural amplification system so that this large mass of people could all see and hear him. And so Jesus starts by telling the crowd a story, a parable, without a title. Now later I can imagine some of the crowd going back home. And when asked, what did this Jesus say? They would say, well, he told us this story about wasted seed. He gave examples of someone scattering seed all over the place. And in three of the four places where it landed, it didn't work. It didn't bear any fruit. And so I think what Jesus wants us to do is to be better gardeners and not waste our resources on bad soil in life. And also, I suppose I should be more careful about who I give money to, since I don't want to encourage bad behavior or waste my tax-deductible giving. So I'll try to only give to people that will bear good fruit. Someone else in another house may be asked what Jesus told them, and they might say, well, Jesus told this story that really put down the hypocrites and the false leaders. He called them hard soil and rocky soil and thorny, weedy patches. He put them in their place since, well, all the rest of us are good soil, of course. And we're all promised big harvests one day. I'm glad he made fun of those other people who don't think right like I do, or vote right like I do, or has way too much money unlike I do, so that when my rich harvest comes in, all those other folks will sure be sorry. Jesus, if you didn't know it by now, had a tough job. He'd been preaching for a few years at this point, and while he was getting well known and he was attracting larger and larger crowds, he was surrounded by many people who simply didn't understand his message. He'd been saying the same things over and over again. So the question is, how can a consistent message about the kingdom of God bring forth such inconsistent and uneven results? Well, it does happen. It happens all the time, even to us. Parents have been known to give advice to their teenage and preteen children, which for some strange reason falls on deaf ears. Feels like the words are seeds on hard, unyielding soil. Business owners may have a great product, and they produce it to the highest quality, and they pay their employees a living wage, and yet they can't survive because other people will buy a similar yet inferior product from a discount store, and they can't support themselves, like seed choked off by thorns and weeds. Churches, week after week, open up their doors. They say, everyone's welcome. And they do their best to preach the message of Christ, that others can hear God's word and feel Christ's love and sense the Spirit moving in their very midst. But that consistent weekly worship of churches, well, as we all know, has very inconsistent results. So why is that? Early this morning, we had the chance to welcome this new group of friends and members. Some came as friends affiliating themselves with ELPC, as they will continue to ask questions about faith and life and grow in their knowledge of God and Christ with us. And some came as members, building on the foundation of their baptism promises to now accept roles as members of this church and perhaps even one day be future officers in the congregation. All of these people are welcome additions to our church. But the paths that brought them to this patch of carpet and this worship service today was far from uniform. Some of the people came to us from Presbyterian upbringings. Some were Baptist. Some were Lutheran, some were Episcopalian, some came from non-denominational churches, some even have come and still hold to other religious traditions. Some of the people in front of us had been consistent in church attendance for years, where others were just finding their way back to a church congregation for the first time literally in decades. There is no one-size-fits-all Christianity. There is no single textbook and no single formula that will define how every seed is to bear fruit. Nor did God intend for there to be such a thing. So the first thing from this parable is that Jesus is reminding us of God's consistent message as the one who initiates relationships, as the one who comes to us instead of waiting for us passively to find our way to God. And like an exceedingly generous sower, God scatters seed over a wide range of soils. Now that's the starting point for the story. Whether you're well-versed in the Bible or a scriptural newbie, whether you're wealthy or battling debt, whether you're white-collar or tattered-collar, whether you're healthy or dealing with addiction, whether you boast a clean criminal record or not so clean, whether you're gay, straight, bi, trans, happy, depressed, you are the soil. We are the soil on which the seeds have been scattered. You don't earn the seeds, and neither can you pretend it didn't come to you. The one consistent part is this: God sows seeds on all of us. After that sowing, there are thousands of different paths that are followed and thousands of different responses, ideally shaped by grace. So let's start again. In Matthew 13, a great crowd has gathered to listen to Jesus preach, a crowd so large that he had to leave the shoreline and get into a boat and cast himself a little bit off the shore so that all the people could see him and hear him. And he started by telling the people a story without a title about a sower sowing seeds on different types of soil. The sower, having scattered generously, is reminded then by Christ, and also for us, to then ask the crowd to reflect on what happens next. He wants us to then think about, well, are we hard soil, rocky soil, soil surrounded by thorns and weeds? Are we distracted and indifferent, too scared and cynical to open ourselves up to a spiritual higher power? Are we people of shallow roots, with too many demands on us, so we're distracted and can't follow a consistent walk of faith? Are our lives and our soils choking us with thorns and weeds, so we become doubting Thomases, unsure if we can ever lead a true Christian life? Basically, Jesus wants us to ask, what is the status of our soil right now, that we might strive to do better and do what is right? To do what is right, according to Christ. It's like the old story of the mother who was making pancakes for her two sons. And the two sons began to fight over who would get the first pancake. And so she said, now if Jesus were at the table, Jesus would say, I think my brother should have the first pancake and I can wait. At which point the older brother said to the younger one, okay, then you be Jesus. It's important to consider the nature of our soil. It's important to reflect on where we are and how we can strive to live into God's call and the example of Christ. And that self-reflection needs to be done honestly. Are we too cynical and apathetic? Have we become shallow, flitting from crisis to crisis without a real plan? Have we been chasing the wrong things in life, and therefore losing sight of what God's grace and Spirit would be leading us to do? Those questions are important, but to answer them, you can only answer them if you have a little distance on the subject. That's why, to me, it's compelling. Jesus didn't preach from the shoreline with a mass of people right in his face. To answer them, Jesus got into a boat, and he went offshore a little bit. And there he could gain the perspective of seeing all the people as now they could all see him from whatever their position was. When considering God's call and when reflecting on the soil of our lives, we too need a little distance. We too need to get into a boat and row out from shore and gain a fresh perspective on the full scope of things before us, so that we can prayerfully consider what to do next. We have a couple of broad illustrations from the recent news to help put this in perspective. In a few weeks, a lot of students are going to be going off to college. Some of the students got into very elite and competitive programs, like Harvard's Business School. The Harvard mission statement says that they desire to develop students with a heightened sense of responsibility so that they will handle current business problems in, quote, socially constructive ways. Now, those are lofty words, but critics of the elite system in that school, like the author of the book The Golden Passport, have argued that actually graduates of Harvard Business School over the last 50 years have overwhelmingly promoted negative policies. Policies that have led to the collapse of the junk bonds, the Enron and WorldCom scandals, and business practices that were behind the last stock market failures. Instead of a motto about problem solving done in, quote, socially constructive ways, Harvard and others have promoted a business mantra whose only goal is to maximize shareholder profits. If your goal is simply profit, seeds of social responsibility and working for the common good will never thrive. And they will never certainly take deep root. And that's something you can only recognize if you can take a step back and look at the big picture about education and responsibilities and how we are all called to bear fruit in the good soil of life for the service of God and all. Second example. There's been a lot of talk on the news currently about health care reform, and we all recognize on both sides of the political divide that something has to be done to improve and protect our access to health care in this country. One complication is the way, though, that the current health care system has created in the last years jobs that are dependent on maintaining, in many ways, a messy and inequitable structure. Pittsburgh, for example, replaced many of its coal jobs and manufacturing jobs with healthcare jobs, service industry jobs for UPMC and Highmark and other providers. It's estimated now that for every doctor working in the healthcare system, there are 16 other people also working in the healthcare system, and 8 of those people have nothing to do with medical care. We've created a system where thousands of medical coders are needed to file your reports when you visit a doctor requesting reimbursement from insurance, just as the insurance companies have hired tens of thousands of medical coders to challenge what has been turned in, to refute or refuse payment, until by some form of litigation and bureaucracy, eventually a settlement is reached. This is costing us billions of dollars, but it also impacts millions of jobs. And changing this system, even for the better, will impact jobs in Pittsburgh and across the country. So healthcare reform is never simply a simplistic quick fix of putting a seed in good soil and watering it. To do it right will require a faithful, broader perspective. It will require hard work, and it will require commitments to serve the common good, even with sacrifices in our economy. So again, Matthew 13 tells us Jesus was surrounded by a great crowd of people who came to hear him preach, a crowd so loud that he had to get into a boat and go a ways off from shore so the people could see him and hear him from their varied perspectives. And he told them a story without a title, about varied soils and a generous sower who scatters seed over them all. And in describing those soils then, Jesus describes them both positively and negatively in terms of the call of faith in our lives. And Jesus knew there are no easy answers or quick fixes when these seeds have gone forth. But in the end, Jesus tells the story because he wants us to bear fruit. And so in the end, Jesus isn't so much focused on the sower, and he's not so much focused on the seed. He's focused on the harvest, particularly a good soil harvest of 30 or 60 or even 100-fold increase. And that's why he tells this story, this parable that's ultimately about the kingdom of God, that expansive, generous, today, tomorrow, and forever perspective that unites God and heaven and earth. Now, we can choose to interpret this parable in more limiting ways. We can hear it as a warning to a complacent church not to get distracted and choked off by worldly cares. We can hear in the parable a warning to a stingy church not to hold on to its blessings so tightly, when God's example has always been to scatter the seeds widely. But ultimately, Jesus is offering this anchored offshore, wide-angle, inclusive perspective on a seed-sowing story that reassures us that God's Word will bear fruit. God's Word and law and love can break up hard soil, can dislodge the rocks, can overwhelm and take away the thorns and the weeds and the selfish powers so that all soil can bear fruit. And when it's done in a good way by grace, 30, 60, 100-fold response. And that's why it's a harvest story. And you need to start from that detail when you read it. God has promised that as we listen and understand by grace God's promises for today, we will bear great fruit for a great harvest globally. And that hope, that good news, gives us strength to deal with the persecutions and the stones and the distractions and the hardness. And so start with that hope. Start with that good news. With that off the shore, in a boat, wide angle perspective on life. And then together we'll know what it takes and what it means to be good soil. Thanks be to God. Amen.